Kaf Dalet Amud Bet. We're going to start the Mishnah at the bottom. Chomer Betruma Shebi Yehuda. Chomer Betruma. So now we're going to get to the first Mishnah was what's Chamor in Kodshim from Truma. This is going to be what's Chamor in Truma from Kodshim. Now, it's a little bit not exactly parallel because really the Chumrot by Truma are because of Kodshim. Because Kodshim were so important. So we'll see, that created a different set of halacha for Truma and for Kodshim. Still in terms of the hierarchy, Kodshim is definitely more chamor, but certain halachot end up being more chamor for Truma because of the seriousness of Kodshim. Chomer b'Truma, shebi Yehuda ne'emanim al tarat yayin b'shemen kol yimot ha'shana, u'b'shat ha'gitot b'habadim af al ha'truma. So now, what did they decide? That when it comes to Truma, we don't believe amei ha'aretz. But there's certain cases where we do believe them. Number one, we believe them for Kodshim. Okay, this is what we saw before, that when it comes to Kodshim, they're believed. Now, either you say it's because of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that it's Mishum Eva, and we don't want to be Matil Eva. Some people say, no, it's because Dafke and Kodshim, they were more Machmir because they took it seriously. In other words, certain things they took seriously, and therefore we believe them. If they bring their Yayin and Shemen to the Beit HaMikdash, we believe them. U'bish'at ha'gitot v'habadim afala truma. Now we're going to learn a new thing. That when it was the time that they brought in the olives and the grapes and they made the wine and the oil out of them, they were believed that they kept everything b'tahara. Okay, so the Amei Aretz. So now we have two things. Number one, when it came time for the making wine and making oil season, they were believed that they kept everything b'tahara. They toveled all their kalim. They made sure everything was pure. Unclear whether it was because they wanted to be careful. First of all, maybe they wanted to be able to give truma and they didn't want people to disregard their truma, and that was important to them. And therefore, like a certain, in other words, we can't assume they're going to be careful all the time. But dafka in that time period, they were careful. Or maybe because they were selling it to people, and that was the time where they produced all their stuff and they wanted it to be accepted. And likewise, when it comes to Kodshim, they're believed all year long. So we have a distinction between Truma and Kodshim. The Truma is more Chamor because we don't believe them when it comes to not the Shat HaGitot. Avru HaGitot VaHabadim. Now there's a really weird halacha. When the time of the Gitot and the Badim pass, Beiviu lo chavit shel yayin shel Truma. Okay, and then comes, right, so it's not the time where we believe the Amei Aretz. So he goes to give his wine to a Kohen. Lo yikablenu mimena. Okay, shouldn't accept it from him. So far, so good, right? Because we don't trust them. Aval, so what should this guy do, the Amei Aretz? Minicha lagat haba'a. He leaves it till the time of the Gitot next year, and then he gives it to the Kohen. Because then the Kohen can accept it from him. Yeah. Right.
Is there a time element?
So that's what we're seeing here. There's something a little bit odd about this, because either it's good or it's not good. You're going to see in the Gemara, even they try to go one step farther and not unsuccessfully. We'll see in a minute. But I wanted to just see something here. I wanted to see what Safrai said about this. I didn't have a chance. So 1 minute. He says... let's see if he adds something here. Some people have the Girsai Kablana Mimana. Afa Pisha Mechira Midal Nigud. Tiger Salama Mechira Kablana. No, he doesn't really relate to it. Okay. Kavir lo lagat ba'al af al pi she mikira shehilo. Yeah, okay. No, he doesn't really relate to it. What? You find something interesting about it?
Maybe not. Okay.
Anyway, it's again, I think what's going on here really is that they're trying to be Mekel. They're trying to find ways
so
around
they're
things.
They're trying to protect the Kohanim from loss. They should get their Truma.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's one explanation, that we want to protect the kohanim so that they don't lose out.
Okay, I'll just read to you. It's the kohen can accept last. The kohen may accept even if he sees it from last year, because he receives it during the pressing time, and the rabbis did not decree tumah upon Amei Haaretz at this time. Although the Am Haaretz had it in his possession throughout the year, we can assume that he refrained from handling it until the next season, because even Am Haaretz possessed a certain reverence for Truma.
But even if he didn't use it all year, it doesn't explain, since it was created in the time of... Right. Looks like, I mean, from the things I've looked at, it's hard to find a good explanation for this. I'm sure there must be a good explanation.
Yeah, this is tautological.
But it's, yeah. In other words... I think what they're trying to say, almost like they turned it into the system. You get it from the guy from this time, at this time of year,
right.
It's koveh. Now, we're going to see the next Mishnah also. There's a little bit of this playing back and forth of whether it's based on a place or it's based on the person or it's based on all different things. They made like certain, almost, not a relevant criteria, but criteria just for the sake of having criteria. These are the criteria, and if it falls within this, then you're okay. If it doesn't fall within this, you're not okay. Even though logically they might not always work out. But the whole thing is that they were trying to be mekel for these Amei Haaretz, or mekel for the Kohanim, that the Kohanim wouldn't lose out on all this produce. You know, and they, because of that, they made a system where there was a lot of, there was a lack of trust, but yet they created a trust based on certain things. So this, in this point, falls into the category, and like you read, the sources, like in the Tosefta, it says, even if the Kohen knows that it's not from the season that it's okay, but it was from last year, but now it is the right season. The right season is what's Kopeah. Okay. V'im amarlo, hifrashti l'tocha revi'it kodesh, ne'eman. Let's say he has a kad of yayin or shemen, and within that kad, there's a mixture. Some of it's kodesh, and some of it he's going to give to his truma. Okay? He says, in Hifrashti Litocha, right, in the middle of my, right, in the barrel that has some of my truma in it, there's also Revi'it of Kodesh. He's Ne'eman. Then, since we assume he kept it al Tarat HaKodesh, right, he kept it for the Kodesh, so then we can eat the truma, because then it's, right, so if you have, when we were talking about truma, we were talking about something that's exclusively truma. If it's a mixture of truma and kodeshim, then it's fine. Kadei Yayin v'kadei Shemen HaMedumaot. Ne'emanim alehem b'sha'at gitot habadim v'kodim legitot 70 yom. What about the kadim that they use? So the assumption is that 70 days before they start the season, they start to get their kadim ready for the process of the winemaking and the oil making. So because of that, if you have kadei yayin and kadei shemen, ha-medumaot, we're going to see in the Mishnah what these are exactly. What does it mean, medumaot? They're mixtures of a bunch of different things. Okay, Rashi says, okay, it's kadim of all different types. Okay, so now what do they say? You're ne'eman alehem in the season. We assume that they keep their kelim, not just right the shemen, but they keep their kelim in the season and 70 days before, because already 70 days before they start to be metaher everything and get it right. Okay, now the Gemara says, if you notice, we didn't really talk about this, but the first word in the Mishnah, the first third word was Chomer B'Truma. What's the first word? Shebi Yehuda Ne'emanim Al Tarat Yayin V'Shemen. Why specifically Yehuda? Okay, Yehuda is always as opposed to the Galil. Okay, so the Gemara says here, Yehuda Inu B'Galil Lo, my time, Amarish Lakish, Mipnei Sheritzu'a Shel Kutim Mafseket Beinehem. Okay, there's a... The whole area in between the Galil and Yehuda is full of kutim. Okay, the Shomronim live there. Shomronim territory. So what's the concern? That we don't trust the Shomronim, and we assume that once it goes through there, there's Tuma, right? And Tuma goes up to Shamayim, and it's going to pass by areas of Tumat Med, and it's going to become Temeh. This is a nice explanation. Safrai claims that it can't possibly be that that's what the Mishnah is talking about, and he uses some sources to talk about the kutim were trustworthy for these kind of things. Some people say Harav Elchanan in the Tosfot seems to bring up that that was before the kutim were believed, but then nitkalkalu akutim, and our Mishnah is talking about after nitkalkalu akutim, and that's why. Safrai recommends, which I thought was a good explanation, I can't remember if it's his or he quotes it in someone else's name, but that the issue here is in Yehuda, they were right near the Beit HaMikdash, and we're going to see the next Mishnah is all about from Modi'in and to Yerushalayim, we trust another thing, because things were coming from there to the Beit HaMikdash. So when it comes to the Galil, people weren't bringing kodshim from HaGalil. It's too far. So therefore, they weren't careful. But in areas where they were near the Beit HaMikdash and they were using things for kodshim, so they were much more careful. So that makes a lot more sense. Anyway, the Gemara doesn't take that explanation. The Gemara, which now we're left with, right, whether what the Mishnah meant or not, almost at this point, now becomes irrelevant, because the Gemara is now going to go awful. If Eretz HaKutim was in the way and that's what made it Tameh, couldn't they have done something else? Venetiv bishidate v'al migdal, right? You could put it in an aron type thing and carry it. You could put it in a box. If you put it in a box, then the tumah doesn't go. Hamane Rebbe he. That's according to Rebbe. Da'amar ol zaruk lav shmei oa. Okay, he claims that ol zaruk, something that's movable item, is not considered an ohel, meaning if you have an ohel within an ohel, so the tumah doesn't get into that little ohel. So they're saying our Mishnah that doesn't allow it from HaGalil didn't buy into this option that you could take a teva, shida, migdal, and carry something and it wouldn't become tameh. Rebbe thought that it would become tameh, and that's what our Mishnah is going according to. Titania hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shiva teva u'migdal. There was this concept that in Eretz ha'amim, non-Jewish countries, you go in and you're immediately metameh because there's tshuma everywhere. So Rebbe, but what if you went in through a shida teva u'migdal? Rebbe metameh, he says that doesn't help you because it's all zaruk, lo shmei o'el. Rabbi Yehuda mitaher. Okay, so that's the reason the Mishnah doesn't accept that position is because they hold like Rabbi. V'leitua b'kli cheres hamukaf tzamid p'til. Ah, what did we learn? A kli cheres with a tzamid p'til, right? It's totally sealed shut. Tumah doesn't go through. So why don't you do that? Bring the kochim in a kli cheres mukaf tzamid p'til. Amar Rabbi Elazar shonim ein hekdesh nitzol b'tzamid p'til. Ah. What did we say, tzamid p'til? It protects things from becoming tamei, but not kodshim. Protects other things. V'hatanya ein chatat nitzel b'tzamid p'til. But doesn't it say in the Braita that the chatat, the mei chatat, the eifer, remember we said that was high in the hierarchy, more chamor? Ein chatat nitzel b'tzamid p'til. My love, ha kodesh nitzel. Doesn't that seem to imply chatat is not saved, but the kodesh would be? Lo, that's not what it means. Ha mayim she'enam mekudashim nitzolim b'tzamid p'til. What does it mean? There's water that you get ready for the mechatat, right? And then you mix it with the ashes, and then it becomes the mechatat. So there's water in two stages. If you have water, when it says ein chatat nitzel b'tzamid p'til, it's talking about the mechatat once you mix it with the ashes. That isn't protecting it b'tzamid p'til. If you put it in there, it's going to be tameh. However, the water that you're going to use for the mechatat before you put the ashes in, if you carry that water within, right, the preparatory stages, mm-hmm. If you carry that water in a kli with a tzamid p'til, a kli cheres that's totally sealed, that water is okay. That's what it's coming to tell you. It's not coming to exclude kodshim, it's coming to exclude the water from before. Okay? So you could still say that ein hekdesh nitzol b'tzamid p'til, and that's why you can't do it. V'ha'amar ula chevraya midakim b'galila Didn't they say, though, but the people who lived in the Galil were very careful about kodshim. Okay, they were very, very careful. So if they had no way to, right, Midachan Rashi says is mitaharin yenam v'shamnan lamizbeach. Okay, and if there was really a ritzuah, then why would they be mitahar their stuff? They could never bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the obvious answer? Minichin uchashavo aliyahu v'yitaharena. They're waiting for Eliyahu to come and teach them how they could somehow get across this area and bring their stuff. They wanted to have their stuff ready.
To mitaher this rekutim.
Ah, okay, fine. I didn't see the explanation, but that's a possible explanation. Yafet, till there was mitame the rekutim, or till he figures out some way that they can get there. Okay. Ubishat hagitot ne'manim af al ha'truma. Okay, remember, if the time of the gitot were ne'man on the truma. Uriminhi. This contradicts a source, a braita. Hagomer zetav yishayer kupa achat v'yitnena la'ani kohen. Okay, now what happens? You're in this time of the making the oil and stuff. First, you're bringing in all your olives. Now, when you bring in your olives, They're not mukhshar the kabel tuma yet until they start getting wet. Now, what happens with olives? There's this mohal that comes out of them, a little bit of liquid. That liquid makes them mukhshar the kabel tuma. However, it doesn't make it mukhshar the kabel. We talked about this yesterday, that when you, what does it mean, mukhshar the kabel tuma? It means that it's important, that it's significant, right? So it has to be a liquid that you want to be on there, that it's good for it. Now, if this mohal, you're bringing in all your olives, takes you a while. This mohal, this liquid comes out and gets on your olives. What's going to happen to the olives sitting there? They're going to get bad. It's not going to be good for your olives. However, what does it do? It softens them. Now, at a certain point, you want it to soften them. When is that? When all your olives are in and you're ready to go. So when you've collected all your olives and the mohal comes out, then it's machshir the kabel tuma. It's machshir the olives to be mekabel tuma. But the mohal in the earlier stage is not machshir the kabel tuma.
Okay,
because it's not a liquid that you want. So now what do we learn from here? That in the early stages, while you're still bringing in your olives, nothing can contract tuma at all. Okay? So what do they say to do? Hagomer zeitav, when you finish bringing in your olives, and then they're going to be mukhshar lekabel tuma, yishayer kupacha v'yinena lani kohen. Put aside one barrel before everything's mukhshar lekabel tuma, and give that to an ani kohen. Okay, now why would you give that to an ani? Why not, right? Why wouldn't you give it to the ashirim? So some people say because usually they would give the ashirim the shemen, but he can't make the shemen because he's not trustworthy, right? The point is, before they're mukhshar lekabel tuma, put it aside already, and then that a kohen can accept, right? Now, maybe it's not a large enough amount, and maybe because of that, the ani will accept it, although no reason really why it should be a different amount. So...
Does it say that here? He says that there was also another version of the text.
Oh, yeah. V'yitznena le'enei kohen. Right. Some people say he has to give it while the kohen's watching so the kohen sees that it wasn't moshar lekabel tuma and then he'll know to trust him. Right. That was one version. Thank you for reminding me that. Le'enei kohen. Okay. So whichever one it is, right, it's a little bit strange why it's la'ani kohen. It could be la'ani kohen.
It's leftover crops to be given to the poor, for it's not fitting for such a present to be given to a wealthy man.
Mm. The leftover.
Yeah.
But it's not really leftover. He's just saying leave a kupa over.
He's just saying it's not nice enough.
Right, but why wouldn't it be nice enough? That's what I'm saying. In theory, he can make a nice package. It doesn't make a difference. Right. That's why this is a little problematic, and that's why maybe some said le'enei kohen. Okay. So now he can, maybe we want to like take care of the aniim, and therefore if there's something that could go to a kohen, give it to an ani. Maybe there's like a different statement being made.
Rambam apparently says if you do want to give it to a wealthy kohen, you can do that.
You
too.
Can, right.
Although the
Meir exactly.
explains
I
also here, from here, it says Meir explains that the priest prepared the wine or oil himself. If he's wealthy, it'll appear that he's pressing the olives as a service for the giver of the truma, and it's prohibited for the priest to work the threshing floor in order to receive his truma. Meaning, like, it's not kavod
to what?
For the kohen to appear to be pressing it for an amharat.
Ah. Okay. Okay. So, anyway, he leaves aside a kupa. So, what does that imply here? The Peshada Gitot, they're not ne'emanim, right? Right? Then it's right. Here, they're not ne'eman, right? And it's presumably he's bringing in all his etim in the Sha'a of the. So Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha habacharfe habaafle. One is talking about when he brings them in the early season, and one is talking about when he brings it in the late season. Mm-hmm. Right? Some people are bringing their zeytim after the season.
So that's giving the leftovers.
That's exactly. Then you would only be able to give the leftovers. Amalei Rav Adi Bar Ava kigon mai ka'otan shel beit avicha. Says just like in your father's house, that's what they do. Rav Yosef Amar b'Galila shanu. Right, he says they were talking about Bagalil, because just like Bagalil, they weren't. Okay, now here you have to say something different, right? What did they say? Chomer b'truma should be Yehuda ne'emanim al tarat hayayin v'shem kol hashana, right? U'b'sha'at ha'gitot v'abadim af al ha'truma. So now the assumption is that the issue with the Galil wasn't just about the kodshim, but also about the truma. Then in the Galil, according to Rav Yosef, they weren't ne'eman on truma either, even b'sha'at ha'gitot, which doesn't make so much sense according to what we said, right? נאמנים על היין בשעת היין, ועל השם בשעת השמן, אבל לא על היין בשעת השם, ולא על השם בשעת היין. So they say, Abai says, here's a braita that goes against what you're saying, Rav Yosef, because here it says that the Galil is like Yehuda for the sake of Truma. It's just that when it's the shemen time, you're not reliable in terms of, you're not trusted about the yayin, and when it's yayin, you're not trusted about the shem. But that seems like Yehuda also. And therefore he rejects it. So it must be the first explanation that we brought and not Rav Yosef's. So it depends on this was out of season, and that's why. Okay, that's what we saw before, that very strange explanation. That if you gave your truma, right, if the time passed, you just wait till next year that time, and then you give it to people at that time. Ba'am name a Rav Sheshet. Avar v'kibla mahu. What if you accidentally, you were a kohen, and you accepted this from him, you weren't supposed to accept it, it wasn't the time of the gitot, you accepted it anyway. Mahu shi'nichena legata ba'a, can you leave it in your house? That's why I said they're going to take this one step further. Can you, as a kohen, leave it in your house till the next gata ba'a, and say that that's okay? Amar lei tinitua. Let's learn it from here. Chaver v'ama aretz, yershuet avihem, ama aretz yechol lomar lo, tol ata chitim shebama komploni, ואני חיתים שבמקום פלוני. טוב אתה יין שבמקום פלוני, ואני יין שבמקום פלוני. Okay, let's say you have two sons who inherit from their father. The father's not religious, the other son's not religious, or Ama Aretz, however you want to call it, and he is a chaver. And he says, look, my father's stuff is not trustworthy, right? But there was some that he knew, let's say, no water ever got on it, so it wouldn't be a problem. So he's allowed to say, you take the chitim that I don't trust, right? It's a very weird thing, right? I don't think they're good, but you do. So you take those chitim, and I'll take these chitim that I know no water ever got on them, and they therefore can't be tame. And you don't really care if they're tame, or you don't think they're tame, or, right? So that you're allowed to do. Aval lo yomar lo tola talach v'ani yavesh, tola tachitim v'ani sorim. But you can say, you take the lach and I'll take the dry stuff. You take the chitim and I take the sorim. Why? Because that's considered like two different meaning. Okay? V'tane ala, I'll explain in a minute. Oto chaver soref halach u'minyech et hayavesh. You have to take, if you're supposed to be getting lach and yavesh, you take lach and yavesh, and then you burn the lach, because that's tameh, and it's tameh truma, you have to burn it, and you eat the yavesh. So now, what's this halacha all about? When you have yerusha, so everything is split, right? But if there are two different minim, so you get half of each min, okay? So if you knew the chitim were a problem and the sorim weren't, you can't say, I'll take the sorim and you take the chitim. That's not allowed, because why? In essence, this is all based on din brera that we've learned in the past. Remember brera, where it means that right now I can decide if we have a field full of chitim and I take half, it's like it was decided from before that now the other half is your part. That works when it's the same thing. But if it's not the same thing and din brera doesn't work then it's like you're selling him property. It's like you're saying, I'm going to take this and I'll sell you my half of that. Now, you can't sell stuff that you believe is tameh to someone who it's tahor for him. You know, if you believe it's tahor, you can't sell it to someone who thinks it's... you can't sell tameh stuff to someone who doesn't care about it, because basically, you're lefnei yivar lo titei mechshol. So you're basically, right, so if it's din brera, and we just say, I'm just taking my part, and you're left with yours, that's fine. But if it's already two minim that are the same, you can't do that. Okay, so now, Amai, so why would he, now what's the main point here, not the details we got into, but in the end he has to burn the lach, right? So now, Amai, yinichena legata ba'a, right? He could just leave it for the next season, if that were the case. Rav Sheshet asked, if you get it and it's problematic, can you just leave it till that's kufa, and in that kufa, it's okay. Just like in that kufa, it's okay for the guy to give it to you, it should be okay for you to then say, this stuff is bad now, but when it gets to the gata ba'a, it'll be good. So they say, if that were the case, he wouldn't have to burn this stuff. So they answered, no. Maybe this case was talking about b'davar she'en lo gat. There's lots of this truma that doesn't relate to shemen and yayin. This is just shemen and yayin. But it could be that when they talked about the Chaver and Amar, Shoshua Tavihem, and that, they were talking about other stuff that doesn't have this, other crops that don't have the Shemen and the Yayin. This is a unique halacha for Shemen and Yayin because of the whole processing process. They were very careful to keep it betumah. Then they say, but if that's the case, we could still say v'yinichena l'regel, because there's a chazakah that in the time of the regel, the amei aretz are also ne'amanim. When it came to the regel, they were ne'amanim. So we're going to see that in the Mishnah later. B'davar she'en, not today, but b'davar she'eno mishtamer l'regel. Maybe it's something that he can't leave it over till the next regel, because it'll spoil. Okay, so they try to say that this doesn't necessarily prove anything against Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, not against him, but doesn't provide an answer. Rosh Hashanah tried to say maybe you could just leave it for the next tkufa. Either you could leave it legata ba'a, or you could also say maybe yinichena l'regel. Okay? And then they tried to prove from this case that you couldn't, because here it says you have to burn it. So they said, no, maybe this case, just there wasn't an out. But if there was an out, if you could leave it for the next tkufa, maybe he'd be allowed to. So we don't know the answer really. Okay, now we have this case where he had Kodesh mixed up with Truma, and we say that the Truma is fine because the Kodesh was mixed with it. Tanan Hatam. The Mishnah says, Modim Beit Shammai Ubeit Hillel, Shebodkim Laosei Pesach, Ve'ein Bodkim Laochlei Truma. My Bodkim, let's just read on for a minute, and then we'll go back and explain. What does it mean, Bodkim? Amar V'yudah Amar Shmuel, Menapech Adam Beit HaPras Ve'Holech. Okay, you remember this Beit HaPras? Beit HaPras is a field that had dead bodies in it, and it was nechrash. Okay? It was plowed. And then the question is, right, we know that there's dead bodies here. The truth is, it's not necessarily that it was plowed. Once it's plowed, then you say the pieces are broken up, and maybe there's not a kezayit anymore. But what do you do when you want to walk through this field? So you can be minapech. You can be minapech olech. You blow. Because you assume that once you plowed it, the pieces are like, you know, loose and stuff. And if you blow them, then they'll get out of your way and you won't be stepping on them. But now, what does it say according to this Mishnah? That you can only do it if you want to make sure not to be metame to the Korban Pesach. But not for Ochlei Truma. Okay? It doesn't help you for Truma. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Mishmei De'ula Amar, Beit HaPras Shenidash Tahur La'osei Pesach. Why is that? Because lo ha'emidu divrehem bimkom karet. Lo chle truma ha'emidu divrehem bimkom mita. Each one has a separate thing. What's the issue with Pesach? With Pesach, if you don't do your Pesach, you have an Easter karet on you. So, therefore, we prefer to come up with a solution that you don't miss out on doing the Pesach. Okay, so therefore, we allow you to blow the field and avoid the truma that way. But when it comes to truma, if you eat truma bitum'ah, the pasuk says you die. Mitabi deshamayim. So we don't want you to die, so we'd rather avoid you eating truma bitum'ah. So therefore, we're not going to allow this thing that's going to maybe potentially allow you to eat your truma, when then if you eat it and really it didn't work, you're going to be... Okay. This whole end of the Masechet is talking about a lot of cases where what's real halachically or not almost doesn't matter, right? Like, whether it's really Tameh or Tahor, we don't know. It's just, okay, if it's in this season, it's okay. If it's not in this season, it's not okay. If you know, either you blow the thing and it works or it doesn't work. But here you say, we're going to allow it to work for this, but we're not going to accept it for this. It's all sorts of, right, how do we relate to things? How much are we going to be machmir for something and less for something else? And it's almost like they're making up a halachic reality.
Well, it's like they're, oh, right. They would be completely stuck.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. Here, they're trying to avoid situations, right? Like with the non-Jews trying to bring their kodshim to the Beit HaMikdash, we're going to say no, and then they're going to go build their own Beit HaMikdash, you know, and do their own thing and not accept any of our stuff, or just not allow people to bring, right? We want to allow people to have opportunities. We want to allow people to do the Korban Pesach, so we're going to say this works. However, we're not going to allow it for eating truma. So they keep drawing the line in different places, and that's what's really going on here. Okay. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Mishmei De'ula Amar Beit HaPras Shenidosh. Okay, we read that, sorry. Ibai Elihu. Badak Lepischo. So now, what if you're going through this field for the Pesach? Okay? Ma'u She'ochal B'Trumato. But you also happen to be a Kohen and you're going to eat Truma. So if you did this Minapech Beit HaPras, and we now say, well, you're Tahor when it comes to the Korban Pesach, are we going to say, but you're still Tameh when it comes to the Truma? Right? It's exactly the same as our thing. Once he watched it for the Kodesh, then we can assume that if there's truma mixed in there, then it was tahor, even though normally we don't trust him for the truma. But we're going to trust him here because it was in the same kelim as the, right? And he dealt with it with the same hands that he dealt with the kodesh. But here we're saying, so if he blows this beit hapras, and we're going to assume, right, we don't generally allow you to blow the beit hapras if you're doing it for truma. But since you already did it, and we assume that blowing the beit hapras works to make you tahor, so does it work to make you tahor for the truma then? Okay? You follow the question? No?
Okay. Sorry, can you...
No, no problem. He's going through this field, right? This field, okay, assume this is the field. It has truma on it. Okay. He's going to blow, right? This is the guy. He's going to blow the truma. Now, if he's going to eat truma, he's not allowed to blow the truma. Basically, we're saying, you're tameh, okay? You're tameh. If you walk through this beit hapras and you want to eat truma when you get to the other side, you're tameh, you got to go through a tahara process. If you're going through to go to the beit hamikdash to eat your korban pesach, we allow you to blow, and then you avoid the truma. Now, like we said, the question is, does the blowing work for truma or does it not work for truma? Yes, the rabbi said you can't do it for truma, but let's say you did it because you did it for Pesach. So then do we say that it works and now you can also eat truma? Even though normally we wouldn't let you walk through and blow for truma purposes. But since you already blew it, do we say it works or do we say no, it doesn't work for truma at all? Even if you did it, it doesn't work. Okay? So, and not only that, but if you did it for Pesach and it works, and then we say, but it doesn't work for truma, it's what we call in halacha a chocho mutulala. It's like a mockery. Right? How could you say, I'm tahor and I could go to the Beit HaMikdash and bring my korban pesach and yet I can't eat truma? It's going to look ridiculous. Okay? So, that's what they're asking. Ula amar badak lepischo mutar lecho betrumato. Rabba bar ula amar badak lepischo asur lecho betrumato. Okay? Amar le'ahu sa'a, so there's a machloket, right? So, Rabba bar ula says no. Amar le'ahu sa'a lo tiflo gale de ula detenan kavate. Don't disagree with Ula because there's a Mishnah like him. V'im amar he frashti l'tochar v'eit kodesh ne'eman. Alma midimehemana kodesh mehemanami atruma. Hachanami midimehemana pesach mehemanami atruma. So this elderly man went to Rabbi Ula and said to him, based on our Mishnah, since we trust him for the kodesh and his truma inside, we also trust him for the truma, that should be the same exact thing here with the field. Okay, so since he already blew the beit hapras, it should work, and therefore you should agree with Ula, and you shouldn't say what you said. Okay, next case. Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen. We talked about the truma itself. Now what about the kadim? And this was the medumaim. They're mixed up with a bunch of different things. Tana ein emanim lo ala kankanim v'lo ala truma. Okay, so now so our Mishnah says, right, just to remind you, v'kadei yayin v'kadei shemen ha-medumaot, ne'emanim aleihem b'sha'at ha-gitot v'abadim. Okay, v'kodom l'gitot shavim yom. You are ne'eman on these kadim. So now there's another brayta that says, ein ne'emanim lo ala kankanim v'lo ala truma. So kankanim demai. What kind of kankanim are we talking about? I kankanim de kodesh, if it was kodesh, migo de mehem ala kodesh, mehem anami a kankanim. Right? If it were kankanim that you had kodesh in them, if we believe you for the kodesh itself, then we're obviously going to trust you that you're kelim or tehorim. So it doesn't make any sense. V'ela kankanim de truma, pshita. If it's kankanim of truma, obviously it's no good, because what did we say? Right? Truma you're not ne'eman for, so obviously the kankanim you're not going to be. Hashcha truma lo meheman, a kankanim meheman. So what do they say this must be talking about? That they're not ne'emanim on the kankanim below all the truma, right? You should have just said ne'emanim below all the truma, and obviously not the kankanim. Because again, part of the problem is your hands, and part of the problem is your kelim are in tahor. So obviously, if you're not ne'eman on truma, you're not going to be ne'eman on your kelim. So ela bere kanim de kodesh ubashar yamot hashana ubimeleim de truma ubashat hagitot. So they say either it's talking about when you don't have kodesh in there anymore. They were used for kodesh, but now they're not being used for kodesh anymore. Then we no longer trust your kadim, right? Your kankanim, because you use them for kodesh. Then they were trustworthy, but at this point we assume you were metame them already. Or it's when they're full of truma in the shat hagitot, and then we know b'shat hagitot, we trust you for truma. So the kankanim are either talking about the truma, b'shat ha-truma, or the kodesh when there's no more kodesh in them anymore and it's not shat ha-kodesh. Okay? Tnan. Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen ha-medumaot. My love medumaot de truma. Is it not that they're medumaot de truma? In other words, they're mixed up with truma. And we said already that we're ne'eman. In other words, what does it say here? Right? Kadei yayin v'kadei shemen ha-medumaot. ne'amanim aleihem b'shat gitot v'habadim b'kornim l'gitot. So they're saying, if they're meduma'ot of truma, so then they should be, they're already ne'aman on their kadim. So what's the question here, right? I think that's the issue here. 1 second. Right. What is meduma? Meduma is really that it's mixed up. What does it mean? It has tevel in it, they're assuming, right? It has, what's tevel? Tevel is, it wasn't mufrash. You weren't mafrish trumot umasrot. Okay? And therefore, it's as if it has chulin and truma and kodesh. Okay? And what did we say? That, 1 second. Meduma to truma. Right. If they assumed at first that they're talking about that you just have tevel in there, stuff that you weren't mafresh trumot umasrot from. Okay? So they say, kadei yayin v'kadei shemen ha-medumaot, isn't that meduma of truma? And if that's the case, what did we say? We already said that you're ne'eman for truma b'shat ha-gitot. Right? So it should be fine. So why do you need to tell us this? So amri debei rabbi chia de medumaot de kodesh. They have tevel, but they also have stuff that's kodesh in them. Okay? And the reason they're ne'eman is because of the kodesh. And right, so then they say, but if it didn't have kodesh, they wouldn't be good. So now they're going to explain this. Umiyika dimua l'kodesh. Could you say that you have tevel mixed up with kodesh? Is that possible? Why would that not be possible? 1 second. Right, generally, you're not mafrish kodesh from tevel. In tevel nechshav merav truma. It's tevel means you have to be metakin it by taking truma, but there's no chiyuv lafrish kodesh, right, to make it fixed. Meduma is usually things that aren't fixed yet, right? So amr debei rabbi ilai ben metaheret tivlo li tomi menu nesachim. It's when you had tevel, you had stuff that you didn't take trumot umasrot yet from, but you were planning to take trumot umasrot so that you could then bring it for the nechsachim. And that was the case. In other words, it's meduma. That's how they're explaining it. It has a mixture of chulin, truma, and kodesh. Because it was something that you hadn't been mafrish trumot umasrot, and you were going to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? And only then do we say it's tahor. But if it were just chulin and truma, it wouldn't be good. The kadim wouldn't be usable. Kodim legitot shivim yom. Amar Abaye shmamina adinahu tilave arisa lemitrach agolfe shivim yom akame matzrata. What do we learn from here? Rabbi says you can learn from here the fact that they separated or matara the stuff 70 days before, right? We assume anything is there 70 days before. We learn from here that people, dafka, you have to go be matahir your kelim 70 days before. He almost takes a halacha out of here. Okay, we're going to do the next Mishnah. Min hamodi'im v'lifnim ne'emanim al kli cheres. Min hamodi'im v'lachutz ein ne'emanim. Okay, now people made kli cheres. Okay, they needed a lot of kli cheres for kodshim. Why? Because says in the Torah, once you bring a kli cheres, you have to break it. If you use it for kodshim, after you use it, you have to break it. So they were constantly needing new kli cheres. So where did they do these kli cheres? You can't burn stuff in Yerushalayim because of the smell. They didn't want kipshon, you know, these, what do they call them? The furnaces. Kilns. The kilns, thank you. They didn't want kilns in Yerushalayim, so they would do it outside the city. So therefore, there was a whole market, right? A whole shuk of people that were making kelim outside the city to bring in for the kodshim. So from where can we assume that people are making it for the kodshim and are zihirim, again, amea aretz? From modi'im v'lifnim, okay? The assumption is also probably, although it doesn't say, like anywhere that amount of space around the perimeter. Okay, Rashi says, I think Rashi says that it's 15 mil, right? It's, right, it says tep of mil, like it says in Psachim, right? It says in Psachim that it's 15 mil from modi'in to Yerushalayim. The exact where modi'in is today, right? It's not exactly clear. If you're interested, Safrai has a thing about it, giving four different cities, or it's possible it is. So if it's from there and inside, they're nemanim. Mina modi'in v'lachutz ein nemanim. Now, if you already noticed, modi'in itself can go both ways. It says from modi'in inside is good, and from modi'in outside is not good. So we're going to have a little bit of a debate about what modi'in itself is. Ketzad. Kedar shumocher kederot nichnas lifnim min hamodi'in. Okay, if somebody who sells these kederot, he comes from out, from within modi'in, who... Nichnas lifnim min hamodi'in. He goes inside. He's outside and he comes into that area. Hu hakadar behen hakderot behen alokhim ne'eman. Okay, there's different explanations. I'll go with one to make it simple. He, his kederot that he brings with him, even though he's coming from outside, if he brings his stuff inside here, we're going to have that same thing. He made it outside, but because he comes inside, it's the makom that's kovea. But Hana Lokhi means that the people who buy from him have to have seen that he came inside, seen him enter, and then they can buy from him. Okay, so that there's some, according to at least one interpretation, the Lokhim have to actually see him and know that he came in and see him come in, and then once he's in, he's allowed to sell to them. Yatsa Eino Ne'eman. But if he goes out, Eino Ne'eman, again, this is almost like a little arbitrary, right? If when he's in, he's in. When he's out. It doesn't matter where it was created. But the assumption is also that if he was coming from far, he was coming here to sell his stuff for Kodesh. So also he was careful about it. Tana modi'im pa'amim kelepanim pa'anim kelechut. This is what we said. It's unclear where does it go, right? It could go either way. So it depends on the situation. Kelechut ketzad. Kadar yotze v'chaber nechnas kelepanim. If the kadar goes in and the chaver is coming out, so then it's as if they're inside. Why? Because the chaver is on his way out. So he couldn't have bought it inside because the guy just came in. So now we're letting him buy in modi'im because he's on his way out, and otherwise he won't have an opportunity to buy it. Shnehem nechnesim or shnehem yotzim, but if they're both going in the same direction, kilechut, then modi'im doesn't count. Because if they're both going in, then they should go in and buy it inside. And if they're both going out, well, then they should have bought it when they were inside. Okay, that's the at least one opinion of reading it. Amar Bai Af Ana Nami Tanina. Okay, we also have a mission that says this. Hakadar Shemachar Takderot Nichnas Lifanim Min Hamodi'im. Okay, so Hakadar Shemachar Nichnas Lifanim Min Hamodi'im. Okay, and then he goes inside, right, in their area. Tama De Lifanim Min Hamodi'im. Hamodi'im Gufa Lo Meheman. It sounds like he's not believed, right? So then they say Ema Seifa Yatsa Eino Ne'eman. Hamodi'in gufa ne'eman. But wait, but the Seifa says if he goes out, he's not ne'eman, but makes it sound like, but if he's in, then he's ne'eman. And la lav shmamina, and therefore he says, that must prove what you said. Lav shmamina, kam b'kadar yotze v'chaver nechnas, kam b'sheshnehem yotzim v'shnehem nechnasim, shmamina. Okay, and therefore that proves that it must be like you said. Okay, we're just going to finish to the mission. Tana, ne'emanim b'klecheres hadakin l'kodesh. They're believed for klecheres dakin. Now, the assumption here also is they're smaller. They're not huge because people didn't take huge kelim that they used in their houses to the kodesh, right? So therefore, they're only ne'eman on klecheres dakin for kodesh. Amarish Lakish, b'hush nitzlam b'yado achat. What does it mean dakin now? They want to know. So Rish Lakish says it means you can carry it in one hand. B'yochanan amar afilu she'en nitzlam b'yado achat. That's not the criteria. Amarish Lakish, lo shanu ela rekanim. This is a good line. What does he say? We believe him for the kli, but not for what's inside. Okay, because remember, what's inside, now here we're talking about a liquid. If there's a liquid inside, what do we say? We're machmir about the mashkin, that they become a rishon again. Right? So therefore, when it comes to mashkin, we're not going to trust them. For Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu meleim, v'afilu apikar suto l'tocho, even if his beged, remember we had this about, it's a midras, right? The beged could be midras, which is also a very high level of tumah. You're getting back to all these high-level tumahs, right? These chumras of Durabanan about the mashkin and the midras, okay? That's midoraita. Even those things, we're going to trust him on. Ba'amareva, umod Rabbi Yochanan b'mashkin atzmo shehem tmein. Okay, but he says, oh, I'm sorry. This is what, okay. I messed up. The rekanim, the mile'im, are mile'im with whatever, food or anything else. But when it comes to the mashkin atzmor tme'im, okay, so they're saying if it's mashkin, then we're going to be machmir, because the mashkin have a higher level tuma. And now they're going to say something really interesting. Ve'altitma, and don't find this strange. That's what's strange, that we're going to trust their kli, but not what's inside it. Don't find this strange. Shahare lagim male mashkin lagim tmeim tumat shiva umashkin torin. This is exactly what we said about that case with the cheres. It is the cheres block. We have a house and an aliyah, and there's a hole, and the tumah goes up. If you have a clay cheres, it blocks, right? But what did we say? The mashkin and the ochalim are fine, right? So what do you say? So don't worry. Sometimes you have these situations. What's he basically saying? The chachamim are koveh chumrot and kulot, and they can play around with it. Now, this basically is a good misakem line for the two mishnayot that we just did. And when it comes to deciding where, right, the rabbis have the power to kind of say, we're going to accept this, we're not going to accept that, even though it might seem a little strange, and even though, right, like the gitot, right, that, oh, we'll leave it for next year, and in that time and period of year, you're trusted, even though you didn't do it b'tahara necessarily. So that's what they say in the end, that the rabbis have the power to kind of decide what is, what's not. Obviously, you know, not things that are d'oraita, but once they have play space in the area where they can decide things that might look silly to a certain extent. Now, obviously, that's dangerous, because once they start to do things that look silly, people are going to make a mockery of it. But in this case, they thought that there was an importance to allowing the kalim, right, so that they could sell them to people and stuff, but it doesn't mean that what was inside them was going to be trustworthy. So it's, you know, where you draw the line and how you draw the line is very interesting, you know, these debates about how they did it and what, you know, again, the question is, we don't have enough time to go into it, but what was the criteria upon which they decided this is okay, this is not okay? What were they most concerned about? Was it the Mishum Evav, the people? Were they concerned about the people selling things? Were they concerned about the people bringing things because they want to bring Kodesh stuff to the Beit HaMikdash? And where do they draw their lines as to what's allowed and what's not allowed? So, Gemara Chatzimah.